Well, good morning, friends. It's good to see you all. Thanks so much for gathering here this morning. Thank you, as always, for bringing the church into this sanctuary. And for those that are gathered for Crosspoint at home, thanks for inviting us into your living room or wherever you're tuning in from. As you saw in that video, coming soon, like that's today. And so we're really excited to celebrate. And I'm going to share a bit of the history of why today is a day that's been like 4 years, literally 4 years in the making. All right. And so we're excited to celebrate. And all of this, friends, flows out of the fact that the tomb is empty. These are not disconnected realities. And so I know we did this a few times last week, but we're going to do it again. He is risen. He is risen. There we go. That's still true. The tomb is still empty. We're still resurrection people. In fact, that's what we get to celebrate every single week when we gather. And that resurrection changes everything. And because of the resurrection, because that's true, it means what happens in this world actually matters. And so the things that we're going to even be talking about today with Compassion Sunday, if there's no resurrection, there would be no point to it all. But because it's true, this matters, and it matters immensely, and there's great joy to be found. And so excited to get into things. If you're somebody that's new to Crosspoint, we've never been introduced. My name is Jamie, and it's my joy to serve as one of the pastors here and to get to open up God's word with you all. And so if you were here last week for Easter, we looked at the resurrection account that is found in Matthew chapter 28. There's the resurrection account and then some of Jesus's final words, what has historically been known as the Great Commission. We're going to go back to some of those verses, specifically verses 18 to 20. So I want to invite you to grab a Bible. If you brought one, turn there. You can use one of the ones in the pew in front of you, or you can scan the QR code and it'll bring up a menu where it says sermon notes. The text will be there. You can follow along that way or access that at thisiscp.church and click that little next steps icon. But to help frame this whole day, I want to jump back into and do a little bit more in-depth on these couple of verses. So if you are able, would you please stand as I read God's word this morning? So Matthew 28, we're going to pay particular attention to verses 18 to 20, but I will start in verse 16. This is where Jesus' 11 disciples, they've been told like, Jesus is going to show up at this mountain in Galilee. Go meet him there. And this is where we pick up the story. Now, the 11 disciples says they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So by way of recap, to kind of get us up to speed as to like what's actually happening here with Compassion Sunday, why do you see a few people running around with like these compassion shirts on, things like that, I want to go back, and it goes back about 7 years. For the last 7 years now, we have taken the time each January as we start our new year out together to do a series on this idea of what does it look like to be a people of justice, of renewal, of joining God in the work that he is doing. And so there's been this focus, and it's this Hebrew word, mishpat. And so if you've been around Crosspoint for one of those seven of the last 7 years, you've heard us talk about that. It's the Hebrew word for justice. But it's not just courtroom sort of justice. It's the idea of bringing that right ordering to all of society. It's literally helping people experience the flourishing life that really is the right to that. Like there's a, Jesus speaks of, and the scriptures speak of this right for people to be cared for the poor, the marginalized who are so often overlooked, to actually be seen by the church and have people minister God's grace, that we would be conduits, we would be these channels where the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus that has flown to us can actually like flow to them. Like it's never meant to terminate with us. Like, cool, I got the grace and mercy of God, and I'm just going to keep that all to myself. But no, we join in this work of renewal. It's why the prophets speak of letting justice roll down like these mighty streams. Like it just goes and it covers the land. And so each January, We've spent time talking about those things. And in January of 2020, we introduced this thing called the Mishpat Project 2020. We were all admittedly a little naive. Apparently, the world was going to shut down in a few weeks, all right? But in January of 2020, we introduced the Mishpat Project, and you all were called on as a church to help raise funds to the tune of like tens of thousands of dollars, to which you all rallied and did that. And it was amazing to see God's provision. And it was a project, it was this initiative to bring Mishpat, and it was in partnership with an organization called Compassion International. And Compassion, many of you are familiar with them and the work that they do of helping people to sponsor children. And so we're going to talk more about that today. But they were also doing, and they have done for a long time, this work of helping plant churches. And we believe in church planting. We were a church plant. We've sent out church planters. We fund church planters. Like, this is part of who we are. And so to have an opportunity to bring all of those things together, it was like, this is amazing. And so you all rallied and money was raised for what was the first part of it. First two parts of it were to see a church planted, all right? So to see that raised up, and then alongside of that, to have a community development center constructed. And so funds were going to be raised to help that initiative. Now, because it was 2020 and we didn't exactly, no one had any idea what was coming in the next few weeks, understandably, like, things got put on hold. We were waiting for a time where we would be matched with a church planter and to be part of that from the outset. And as you can imagine, as every organization was scrambling to do, was there weren't new initiatives going. It was like all of that was on hold and just trying to keep things going. And Compassion did an amazing job. And as things started to open back up, as we shared this a few months ago now, we had been matched with a church planter, all right, and a church plant. I will struggle to pronounce the name, but it is there on the screen. And in English, it is the National Evangelical Church of Friends in La Paz, Bolivia. And so there's this new work, friend, that's happening in this community, all right, on the other side of the world, but they are gathering. Like, they're gathering as we are gathering, and they're celebrating the reality of the resurrection, all right? And I want to read to you, because one of the beautiful things is this church has begun. And additionally, the second component of a child or community development center has begun the work of construction, and kids are being brought in to be educated and taught and all of this. And so I want to read to you a portion of a letter we recently received. This is the church planter there. This is Pastor Liborio. And so here are his words to us as a church. And so be encouraged in this. Like, God is working in and through us. He doesn't need us. Wasn't like God was like, oh, am I going to do this work in Bolivia without Crosspoint? Like, oh no, right? Like, that wasn't his thing, but we get to participate. Like, he invites us to come alongside. And what a grace that is. And so here are these words from Pastor Liborio. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wish you much success in your efforts to build God's kingdom here on earth. On behalf of our church, I would like to express our deepest gratitude for your gift to our community. Thanks to God, you and Compassion Bolivia, our child development center is greatly benefiting many children in our small community. The funds have been a great blessing for the church and for our dear participants, because now they can attend their classes in a comfortable and a safe environment. The community, participants, and caregivers meet comfortably on Sundays and learn from the Word of God, and everyone is grateful to have a place to gather together. For the local population, the church and the new Child Development Center have been a great blessing because we are the only church in the area where fathers and mothers and children can feed their desire to learn and know the Word of God. They all praise, worship, and exalt His mighty name, and as a church, this encourages us to persevere in the work and expand the kingdom of God. We desire to finish building the new church facilities and to add a recreational area for children, and we could not do any of this without the support of our caregivers, community, and you, dear supporters. Your support has honored the Lord and blessed us tremendously. I bid you farewell in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so amazing. Praise God. Like there's this work that is happening. Here's a few pictures that they sent. These are some of the children that are beginning to gather both in this church and in this child development center. You see in the right, that's some of the staff that is working there week in and week out to help care for these kids, to educate these kids, provide tutoring, recreation, like all these things. Like there's a whole team of people. And so though it was a delay in all of this, like praise God that these things are up and going. And the part that has been 4 years in the making is the third component that we shared back in January of 2020 was that as kids then from the surrounding community got connected to this church plant and to the community development center, there would be opportunities for us as a church. There's always opportunities to sponsor children, but specifically for us to engage in child sponsorship of kids all from the same community. Like all of us as a church having the opportunity then to sponsor kids or maybe to partner together with some friends of ours too. If it's like, hey, I, you know, if I can afford all that, or if you're like, I can sponsor multiple kids. Like all of those things are options. And so today is that day that we get to introduce this. Doesn't mean it's the only day to sign up to participate, but this is kind of the launch of this. So we're super excited because we believe in partnerships. One of our church plants is our partnership with Brian and Karina Sullivan down at Cross Point Jupiter. And as we are gathered here, they too are joining in. They're having their own Compassion Sunday, receiving packets of information from kids from that same church in La Paz, Bolivia. And so the hope is that we would have this growing community and this connection where we minister to one another. This is not just one direction, right? Like there's so much we have to learn and grow from just being in relationship with one another. The hope in upcoming years, it could be as early as 2025, though hold that loosely as the opportunities to take a team down there to help serve the church that's there. And what a beautiful thing that you would actually get to meet the kid that you have been sponsoring, right? And so we are so excited about it. And so to sort of frame this time, I just want to look briefly at these verses again that we get in the Great Commission, because what Jesus does here is he's laying this out. I want us to see that he speaks of the big E on the I chart is discipleship, that discipleship is the calling, it is the command. So in verse 18, Jesus starts out this way. Like it's so important that we get this. It's not just to go sponsor a child because it's like, hey, oh, that feels like that might be fun and we get encouraged to go and do that. But it needs to be rooted and grounded in like, why? Why are we engaging? Like, what is the purpose, the plan? Like, how does this all tie together? And so as Jesus is giving his disciples some of his final words before he would ascend back up, he came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth. So the totality of the universe in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What Jesus is saying there, think about this. This is on the heels of the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then you shouldn't listen to Jesus anyway. But because the resurrection happened, he's showcasing he has all authority. And that means there is nothing that he can't ask of us. And it would be the wisest thing that we could do to pay attention to the life that he's inviting us to live. He's not trying to rob us of joy. He wants us to experience more of the joy of participating with him. And he says, all authority has been given to me. He has proven that he is the one who's ultimately in charge. And so it would serve us well to say, okay, Jesus, the risen Lord, the one who saved us from our sins, the one who's brought us into this new life, this resurrection life, what do you want us to do? And he says, go therefore make disciples of all nations. And so, friends, that includes one of the things I want us to hear today is it is both a global call and a very hyper-local call. We're going to talk more of the global call today, but you're called, if you're in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple, you're called to be a disciple, as am I, who makes disciples. And that could be right in your community, your neighborhood, your school, your network of friendships, your office, like wherever. And it also includes this beautiful opportunity that we have in Bolivia. Now, John Mark Comer, in his recent book, Practicing the Way, speaks of discipleship and takes us back to even that word where Jesus says, go and make disciples. That had a particular cultural connotation back then that sadly has been lost, I think, in our day and age. He says this, the Hebrew word there is Talmud, and it simply means, quote, a student of a teacher or philosopher. But it goes further, not just a learner, but a practitioner of an embodied way of life. Do you hear that? A practitioner of an embodied way of life, one who is diligently working to be with and become like their master. That's what it means to go and make disciples. That's what it means to be a disciple. Language that he uses throughout the book interchangeably is this idea of an apprentice. And that's something even that has been lost culturally with us. But there was a time people would literally apprentice. They would go and learn a particular job, a trade, and they would follow that person around, like the one who was training them and instructing them. And it was more than just head knowledge, right? Like any number of examples could be used, right? Like I'm terrible like mechanically, but let's just say for a moment that I was like, I'm gonna apprentice under a master mechanic, right? And then you had car trouble and I'm like, hey, I've been apprenticing with a mechanic. I can help you out. And you find out though that I have read the manual, right? For your vehicle, but I've been like, a wrench? Why would I want to touch a wrench? Those parts are greasy. I don't want grease on my hands, right? So if I've just kept it in the realm of the cerebral, but I've never put a car on a lift and I've never gotten any tools out and I don't even know how to change oil. Like if that's just where I'm at in the situation, you realize like I'm not a true apprentice at that point. And the same thing applies here, but if something of like even like the most significant thing, like we're called to be disciples, not just taking in information, but to actually follow Jesus. There was this phrase that was used in the first century. It was this blessing that was said oftentimes amongst first century Jews in the area of Israel. And they would say this, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And the reason that they would say that is the ultimate calling was to be a disciple of a particular, a rabbi was that teacher, that was that instructor, that was the one that you were seeking to apprentice under. And the idea was such that as you walked the dusty roads of Israel, right? And as you went on the, you know, through the countryside and through the city streets and all of these things, if you were a disciple, and you would have applied, this is like getting into like this Ivy League school, like that's how revered it was. The idea was you would follow so closely. Like the blessing was the end of the day with all the dirt that would have been kicked up from your rabbi, your instructor, your teacher, you're so close to them that all of that is kind of kicking back on you. And you're literally covered in the dirt, the grime, the dust of your rabbi because you want to be so close. You want to go where they go. Like it got taken to extremes. Like literally they're like, we're following you to the bathroom. Like that sort of thing, right? But they wanted to know, not just theoretically, like how does this person minister to people, apply the Torah, apply the scriptures. Like, how are they seeking to do that? Not in the abstract. Now, do you see how it's possible then in our day and age to kind of how we might have lost some of that? That we have lots of people, I think, who give lip service. I'm a Christian. And there's just sort of cultural connotations with that, but it's very different than true discipleship. So, discipleship is the call or the command, but discipleship also, friends, it is comprehensive. This gets into this where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, seeing people like covered in the dust of the rabbi. Well, our ultimate rabbi, teacher, instructor, the one we're following is Jesus. Are we being molded and shaped by him? It says, go therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. The idea embedded in this is, yes, we need to see people go from death to life, from unbelief to belief. But it doesn't stop there. The calling is this comprehensive, holistic discipleship to see every aspect of a person's life changed and transformed by Jesus. So it's one thing to give lip service to like, oh, I'm a Christian. But the language, not that it would be wrong to use that language, right? But not every person who identifies as a Christian is a disciple. Every true disciple sure, you can say they're a Christian, but there is a difference here. In fact, it's been pointed out that there are three times in the New Testament that the word Christian is used. Doesn't mean we can't use it or shouldn't use it or anything, but 269 times the word disciple or discipleship is used. That's a massive difference, right? And there's this comprehensive nature, like what Jesus is getting at, what he's laying before his disciples is this, like, don't make it just about a name or a title. Like, are you following Jesus? Are you so enamored with all that he's done for you? What all that's represented in your baptism, where you're buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, like all of that, but then teaching, like learning all the things that Jesus taught, and how do we apply that? How do we see the Jesus way? Like, how did Jesus interact with people? How did Jesus see people? How did Jesus bring mishpat? And we don't participate in that because we got anything to earn. That's not it. Jesus has earned it all. But we gladly go because this is what he's invited us into. He is the embodiment of true humanity. And he's saying, hey, come follow me. I know there's still sin, there's brokenness, and one day I'm going to set everything right. But that doesn't mean for now you just kick back and wait till he comes back and you just don't do anything. No, because the resurrection is true, because the Great Commission is the big E on the I chart, it means that all that we do is loaded with significance. Dallas Willard says it this way, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who are identified as, quote, Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life, hear this, of the kingdom of heavens into every corner of human existence. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying what? Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, your will be done on earth, right here, as it is in heaven. To see the heavenly realm invade this realm. And Jesus is saying, I'm looking for a group of people to join me in that work. That gets at the heart of what mishpat is. It gets at the heart of what was introduced back in 2020 of this mishpat sort of initiative and the work with compassion. As Willard says, again, into every corner of human existence, friends, this comprehensive discipleship, what Jesus is after is something that affects us spiritually. That's part of it, every corner, but also physically, relationally, emotionally, psychologically, like across the board. And there are no lack of organizations and partnerships that a church can have out there. There's lots of great organizations. But I will tell you, one of the things that drew us to Compassion is over and over again, when you talk to folks from Compassion, there is this desire for that holistic, comprehensive discipleship, that they want the kids, even as you saw in that video, to know about Jesus and the truth of the gospel. And yet they don't do that divorced from seeking to care for their material needs and their emotional needs and their relational needs and their psychological needs. Like, it's all bound up together. There's this beautiful care of the totality of, like, the whole person. And so it's one of the things that has just drawn us to them. One of the things, if you talk with them and some of the reps that we've worked with, they will quote this verse fairly often, Luke 2:52, speaking of Jesus. In his full humanity, it says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor, that idea of grace, with God and man. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but like Jesus in his full humanity is like growing in wisdom and stature. Like the whole person being cared for. And so friends, this morning, all of this is partly set up for you to hear a story of like this comprehensive discipleship. And so part of God's grace toward us and working with Compassion is this morning we have Gerald Lorenzo with us. He drove up from Fort Lauderdale this morning. So if Gerald could come up, let's welcome Gerald as he comes to the front here. We're so grateful to have Gerald with us, and he is going to share a bit of his story. A story of what it looks like the impact that Compassion has in the lives of real boys and girls as they grow up. And so I'm so excited for all of us to hear from you, to hear how this all like gets fleshed out. And so the stage is yours. The floor is
yours. Thank you, Pastor.
You take as long as you want. I'm going to go sit down now. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Can you hear me good? Okay, good. And as Pastor mentioned, you know, I'm from the Dominican Republic, and I am a former sponsor child of Compassion International. And for me, it's like always a blessing to have the opportunity to share my story with so many people. One of the reasons is because sometimes people believe that Compassion helps children. And I'm always in front of many people just to letting you know that I was not sold. I was transformed by the glory of Jesus Christ. So with that said, what I want to do right now, I wanna just start telling you a little bit about my story before Compassion, during Compassion, and after Compassion International. And one of the things that I used to start speaking about it is mentioning a conversation that I had with my mom a few months ago. So I was talking to her, and I was trying to get some information from her about her story. And the reason why it was because I wanted to understand my own story, trying to listen in her story. And some of the things that I discovered, it was that, number one, she met her mother at the age of 19 years old. And the second thing is that she defines her father as a great man, but at the same time as an abusive man. So she said that when she was 19 years old, she was living like that kind of situation. And at the age of 20, she decided just to leave her house, trying to find a solution. And what happened was that she was thinking that that solution, it was in a man. And that was the moment when she met my father. But one of the things that she didn't know, it was that at the age of 4 years old, when I was born, my father was going to leave the house. So, and that's the moment and the time when everything started to change in our life, because my mom, she had to raise my brother and me all by herself. And I always say, you know, like with no money to have an education, no money to for food, you know, no money for transportation. Like we start living like that kind of life in poverty, in extreme poverty, just because, you know, there was like a separation between my mom and my father. So I never knew what it was like to have a father since that time. And some of the things that I remember is that during my childhood, in the place that I was living, I saw how the traffickers were selling drugs in the corner by my house. And that was like my daily bread. The other day I was in a Compassion retreat, like a pastor retreat with some pastors. And I told them, like, listen, the place where I grew up, so many people, when you told them that you are, like in my case, I say, hey, I'm from Villa Maria. What people used to say is, what good can come from Villa Maria? And that's hard, you know, like when you hear something like that, because it's like you don't have the opportunity to have hope. It's like you don't have the opportunity to have dreams. You know, you don't have the opportunity to grow up, to be a good person. In the middle of that kind of place, you know, living area and everything, some of the things that I remember is that I have to knock the doors of my neighbors and ask them for empty bottles of Coca-Cola, to exchange those empty bottles of Coca-Cola for bread and milk at the grocery store. Some of the things that I remember is that I didn't have a bed to sleep on. Some of the things that I remember during my childhood, I had to walk to go to my school from Monday to Friday, every day with my broken shoes, and sometimes having that kind of conversation with my mom saying, hey, Gerald, today we just got 10 Dominican pesos and we need to choose between you taking that money for transportation or you taking that money for breakfast. So that means that the day that I took the money for transportation, I didn't have breakfast. And the day that I took the money for breakfast, I had to walk to go to my school. So one of the things that I remember is me selling juice and empanadas on the street to survive and selling hot chocolates and cookies 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning just to try to get some money to buy food and survive in our family. So in the middle of that kind of situation and living that kind of life, you know, I always was trying like to reach out my father, but always it was like something impossible for me. And one of the things that I always say is that do not having a father in your life, it is hard. But it is hardest when you don't mean anything to your father. So I remember one day that I called my father, and after like 14 attempts, he decided to pick up the phone and he asked me to stop by a police station. I was supposed to go to the school, but he asked me to stop by a police station. And the reason why it was because he was a police officer at that time. So he asked me to go there. And when I arrived to the police station, I was there since 7 a.m. in the morning and I was waiting for him until 5 p.m. and he never showed up. And I always say, I don't know if you can imagine a child in a parking lot of a police station waiting for his father to get some money to buy food. That was my case. From 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. and he never showed up. So I remember that one of my dad's co-workers called him and he talked to my father, you know, and he passed me the phone and I talked to him and I say, listen, I've been here since this morning. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't eaten anything. And his answer was just like, go to your home. You know, like in other words, like I don't care about you. I'm gonna call your mom. Just go to your home. And I remember one word that he told me. He said, I haven't eaten anything either. And it was like what is the difference between you and me? You know? But when I arrived to my home, I was crying. I was trying, you know, like to understand with just why I was living that kind of life. And I remember that I fell down into my knees and I started praying to the Lord. And I started asking the Lord and saying, hey, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. And whatever promise came to your mind, that was the promise that I was doing at that time. I was like, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to open a foundation and I'm going to do something for my community. Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to serve you. I was asking and telling the Lord, I don't know how many things at that moment. But what was the reason? I was living without hope. It's like when you don't have the opportunity to dream. And I remember those times, those moments, my mom crying, trying to find a solution, and someone talk to them and say, hey, there is a church close to our community. Go there and try to see if they can help you. And I remember that my mom went to that place. And when she arrived there, she was trying to find like a scholarship because that church, they had a Christian school. And she was trying to see if they can help me with my education. But what they told to my mom, it was, listen, we can provide you a 50% scholarship. But here in this church, there is a compassion program. Let's try to see if they can help you with the other 50%. So some people from that program, from compassion, they decided to go to my house. They decided to see the situation that I was in, what I was living. And they took some pictures and they just figure out and they say, hey, you know what? Definitely we need to help him. So I remember that they took some pictures about me and they create like a child packet, like those child packets that are outside, and they send them to London, United Kingdom. So I start receiving the benefits without being a sponsor. Because they just discovered we need to support him. So they put me in that list. They sent me to London, United Kingdom through a child packet. And in London, United Kingdom, there was a man, his name is Brian Bilson. When he saw my packet, he said, I want to sponsor Gerald Lorenzo from the Dominican Republic. And that was the moment when everything started to change in my life because We found a place not only that provide food, uniform, and transportation. I always say we found a place that provide the best of the best for me, for my family, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. To have Jesus Christ in our life changed everything. Why? Because through Compassion International, I can say that my elementary students were paid through this organization. But at the same time, there is something that I never forget, and it is that they decided to provide for me and my brother my first bed. And it was that bed that you call like a bunk bed. And the reason why, it was because they say, okay, the one that is a sponsor is Gerald, but his brother is also sleeping on the floor. What about if we buy something that can benefit both of them? So I never forget that kind of gift for me and my family. And I I have that in my mind very, very, very present, because it was like the first time that I was able to sleep on a bed. So my mom today, and my brother and I, we can say that we accepted Jesus Christ through Compassion International. And my mom, she's serving in a church in the Dominican Republic as an associate pastor over there. And at the same time, my brother, he's also working as an external host for Compassion International in the Dominican Republic. So we are a great example that a whole family can be changing just sponsoring one child. It is fine if you want to sponsor two, three, or four. But just sponsoring one, a whole family, can be changing. And that's my case, and that's my family, my mom, my brother, and I. Many people ask me about, hey, Gerald, can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with your sponsor? Did you meet him? And the answer is, I never met my sponsor in person. But Compassion has something that is called letters. And through the letters, we create a bond of a father and son that I never knew before. And you know what? When my father never called me to say happy birthday or say something special, I was always receiving letters from my sponsor letting me know, hey, Gerald, we are here in London, United Kingdom, but we just want to let you know that you are so special for us. We just want to let you know, Gerald, that we are praying for you. We are praying for your family. Gerald, you know what? The Lord has big plan for you and for your family. And they were right. So today I can say that my life is not like a roller coaster anymore. I am married to a beautiful woman from the DR. Her name is Vanessa. I got two beautiful baby girls. You're going to see there outside today. But I got two beautiful baby girls, Victoria and Valerie. Victoria, she is 2, and Valerie, she's almost 5 years old. And let me tell you something. One of the things that I love to share is that of all the goals that I have in my life, there are two of them that I always love to share. And it is that things that one day someone decided to show me evidence about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to repeat the same story as my father. And number two, one of the other goal is that I am just being with my wife as my father never was with my mom. So I'm trying to live that kind of life that the Lord is just asking me to live. So today I can say that I got a bachelor's degree in business management. And it is thanks to Compassion International. You know, they were the one paying everything for me to support me with my education, my bachelor's degree. I got a certification in Christian leadership, thanks God. I am helping a lot of people here in the United States right now with immigration. And you know, we are a great example, like I say, that a whole family can be changing just sponsoring one child. So I want to conclude saying this, and is that a few years ago, like a year ago, a year and a half ago, someone asked me, hey, Gerald, can you please tell me what Compassion did for you? And my answer, it was, I'm going to letting you know what Jesus Christ is still doing in my life through Compassion International. because this is not about the $43. This is not about compassion. This is about discipleship. This is about doing something for someone else that can be transformed, that can transform your life generation by generation. And I remember that question because I told him, let me tell you something. You know, my mom, she was diagnosed with something called Chiari malformation type 2. This is like a little tumor in the spinal cord, and it needs to be performed by a brain surgery. And I remember when those, you know, when that time came to our life, my mom, she called me from the Dominican Republic, and she said, "Hey, Gerald, there is a doctor here. He said that he want to talk to you. I don't know what is happening." And she passed me the phone, and he said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that your mom has a serious condition, and we need to perform a brain surgery for her. She has been diagnosed with something called Chiari malformation. If we don't act quickly, she's going to start losing her body nerves, and she's going to stay in a wheelchair." And I remember that conversation because he said, "I got a situation, and is that I can give you the diagnosis, but I cannot perform that surgery for her because I don't have a specialty in that kind of surgery. So we need to find a doctor here in the Dominican Republic." So I asked my mom to come here to the United States, and we went to the Miami Jackson Memorial Hospital. And over there, I was trying to find that doctor that ends with the MD, PhD, and all the D's, you know. And it was obviously, it was my mom, you know, like I wanted to make sure that my mom, she was going to have to be in good hands. But we found a good doctor over there, and he said, "Listen, we need to perform a surgery for your mom as soon as possible." And he explained the same thing that the other doctor told me, but he said, "But we got a problem." And I say, like, "What is the problem?" And he said, "Your mom doesn't have medical insurance here in the United States." And I was like, at that moment, I always say that probably I was thinking in Dominican pesos, because I look at him and I say, like, "That's not a problem, how much it is." And he said, "Well, if you have $55,000, in 2 weeks, we can prepare your mom and we can perform that surgery for her." And obviously, we, you know, $55,000, that's a lot of money. So I look at my mom and I say, "Listen, if there is something that I know from you, is that you are praying every week with a group of women. So I know that the Lord is going to provide for us. I know that the Lord is not going to leave you alone." I look at her and I say, "Mom, you know what? Saturday in the morning, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., when I was passing in front of your room, I always was hearing you praying. So I know that the Lord is going to provide for you. I don't know what is going to be the way, but let's pray to the Lord and let's trust in the Lord." But what I never imagined, it was what happened when my mom called me 3 weeks after. She went to the Dominican Republic and she say, like, "Gerald, I'm actually here in a medical appointment, and I mentioned your name, and someone here say that she knows who you are." And what happened, it was that my mom say, "Hey, we need to call my son in the United States. His name is Gerald Lorenzo." And someone over there say, "Did you say Gerald Lorenzo?" And my mom say, "Yes." And that person say, "Was Gerald Lorenzo in Compassion International?" And my mom say, "Yes." And that person say, "Is Gerald Lorenzo now living in the United States?" And my mom say, "Yes." And she say, "You know what? If you are Gerald's mom, you are like my mom. Call Gerald." So my mom called me. She passed me the phone, and I talked to the lady, and I say, she was like, "Hey, Gerald, did you remember me? It's Nugent Libargas." And I say, "Of course, I know who you are." And she say, "Listen, did you remember when we were together in the Compassion program that you were a student in business management and I was a student in medicine?" I say, "Yes, I remember those moments." She say, "Today I am a neurosurgeon, and your mom is in my office. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to be the one that is going to perform that surgery for your mom." So what I'm letting you know is that a former sponsor child was the person that performed the brain surgery for my mom. And that happens because someone from here, from the United States, one day decided to sponsor her, show her evidence about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sponsor her. So today I wanna letting you know that when you sponsor a child, you are not only sponsoring a child, you are changing a life, as my life, as Dr. Vargas' life. You are transforming a family, as my mother, my brother, and I. But at the same time, you are impacting an entire generation, as my wife, my baby girls, and you know what? Our little Hannah, that is from Peru, that we are actually sponsoring as part of our family. So Jesus and the church are more powerful, church, than poverty. And you have to believe that. Amen. So thank you so much for having me here, Pastor. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. And thank you. Yeah.
If I had planned better, I would have had tissues to wipe the tears away. Yes. So... Wow. Thank you so much. Thanks for the vulnerability to share your story and friends. So encouraging. I think just to hear it's that what our big God does is a big gospel that brings this transformation. I love hearing the that generational impact, the ripple effect of it. And so as we kind of wrap this up, I know in this, as we're thinking through these things, like there is a cost. I think this calling to discipleship and this comprehensive discipleship, the last thing, there is a costly commitment to this. And yet I think you hear the impact this can have. I think of Jesus' words as he closes us up and he says, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age," that God promises that he is with us, that he's not going to forsake us. And part of that reality, when I think about this, is what it costs Jesus to actually make that statement true, like, "I'm with you." Think about the fact that Jesus saw us. Like, you go read Philippians 2 and you realize, like, he didn't need any of us. It wasn't like he was lonely or bored, or I wonder what humanity's up to, right? Like, he's got this perfect communion between God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And he willingly condescends to us. He sees the human condition. And he's willing to enter in and to sacrifice for us. You think about the parable, the story that's told of the Good Samaritan. And you see one who sees the man on the side of the road, who stops, who's willing to be inconvenienced, who stops in a way to just see the actual need and then makes the sacrifices necessary. But until we even think about that story rightly, like, I don't think we'll have the motivation to continue in this, because we have to see, no, like, we were the man dead on the side of the road. We are the ones who have received the riches of Jesus. We are the ones that Jesus saw and he moved toward us. Like, he moved into the neighborhood. We're the ones that Jesus has sacrificed for. It's what Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." That is the richness of the story we've been brought in. And friends, now there's an opportunity for us, not because Jesus needs us, but he's saying, like, "I want you to get the joy of participating." And so on this sponsorship Sunday, this Compassion Sunday, after the service, there's information out under the pavilion. You can pick up a packet. You can also, we'll have a QR code on the screens out there as well, that if we run out of packets, praise God, there are more kids to sponsor. There's close to 175 kids that are enrolled in this. And so between us here in Altamont and Cross Point Jupiter, we're just seeing what the Lord might do in that. I think you heard it's $42, $43 a month. And if you have the means to do that, I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to figure out the way to have the means to do that. It might involve maybe you partnering together with another family or a friend of yours to do that. Maybe you're like, "I have the means to do that. I will gladly sponsor 3-4 kids," whatever it looks like. And this isn't the only day to do it. This will be something we're ongoing commitment to other times to sign up. But I would ask you to consider this. The gospel motivation for all of us seeing, like, "Oh no, Jesus saw us and he moved toward us." And think of the stories that we'll get to tell one day. Because we heard from Gerald, just the amazing, the ripple effect of the gospel in ways that maybe we'll hear, maybe we won't until we're with Jesus one day, but to know, like, wow, like, this call to discipleship, like God allowed us to be used by him. And so there is a call in this, like, will you and I commit to it? Not because we have anything to earn, friends. It's all been earned by Jesus, but we get to live in glad response to what he has done. And so thankful for this Sunday. I'm so thankful for the work ahead. Let me pray for us as we prepare our hearts to come to the table where we're reminded of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. And the pinnacle of our service, where each week we are reminded again and again through this means of God's grace that, oh, no, Jesus saw us. And he really did sacrifice for us. And he really has conquered Satan, sin, and death. And he really has made a way for us to be the church. And he's building his church. And he's inviting us to be disciples who make disciples for his glory and for our joy. So let's pray now, and we'll continue in our service. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for this, the encouragement. Thank you for the story, Gerald, that we got to hear, Lord. And I am so thankful for the ways that you have used compassion down through the years. And we pray that your work specifically would flourish in La Paz, Bolivia, with the specific church, Pastor Liborio there, that we get to partner with. God, it's an incredible gift. And I thank you that what began 4 years ago, God, that we're seeing some of this come to fruition. God, I pray that you would move in our hearts, God, that you would help us even think creatively of ways to, God, if finances are tight and there's ways that we might be able to think through, okay, what can we do? Or what sacrifices can be made to be able to give? God, I pray that it would all be motivated by the gospel. I pray that we would just find the joy in participating, God, with you. And so, God, work for your glory, for our joy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.